Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. Welcome to worship today. It is so good to have you here worshiping with us today. Special welcome, to our friends from the Geneseo United Methodist Church. Thank you for coming and sharing your musical gifts with us today. Today is the day that God has made for us. May we give God the gift of praises to Him. Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Together. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. As we gather in this place, allow your spirit to fill our very being. As we worship today, we remember our brothers and sisters who are worshiping elsewhere throughout the world. Inspire each of us to work more faithfully for justice and dignity of life everywhere. In the spirit of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, we reach out our hands with help and open our hearts in love. Awaken us the desire to seek your way of serving you in the world.
Of joys and concerns is lifting our prayers to God. May we continue to pray together. Most gracious and ever-loving God, your glory is always to have mercy on us. Be gracious to all of us who have gone astray from your ways. We pray for all of the people in our world who are struggling emotionally and psychologically due to financial concerns or other issues. Help them to find hope for the future. Draw all minds and hearts to you and inspire those who are in leadership to make good decisions for the healing of our world. We pray for all those who are sick. Heal their bodies, heal their souls. Help them to feel your healing touch. And be with all doctors and nurses and all medical staff as they care for your people. We pray for all those who grieve this day. Draw them into your warm, tender embrace. Help us to carry them in the days and weeks and months ahead. Help them to feel your love through our love. We praise you for the gift of life that you give us each and every day, and for the opportunities of love that we have to share. And now, God, we pray the prayer that Jesus himself taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Called Reader's Theater, meaning we read, we didn't memorize, we didn't build a lot of scenery, but we nonetheless are representing characters telling a story from the book of John. A woman, Samaritan, a narrator, Jesus.
He came to a town in Samaria named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired by the trip, sat down by the well. It was about noon, and his disciples had gone into town to buy food. A Samaritan came to draw some water.
Give me a drink of water.
You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?
If you only knew what God gives and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water.
Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get living water? Our ancestor Jacob gave us this well. He, his sons, and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?
Whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give will become in them a spring, which will provide them with living water and give them eternal life.
Sir, give me this water, then I will never be thirsty again, nor will I have to come here and draw water.
Go, call your husband, and come back here.
I don't have a husband.
You are right when you say you don't have a husband. You have been married to five men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth.
I see you are a prophet, sir. My Samaritan ancestors worshipped God on this mountain. But you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God.
Believe me, woman, the time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship. We Jews know whom we worship because salvation comes from the Jews. But the time is coming and is already here when the real worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. These are the worshipers the Father wants to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
I know that the Messiah, called Christ, will come. When he comes, he will tell us everything.
I am he, I who am talking with you.
At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar, went back to town, and said to the people there,
"Come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah?"
So they left the town and went to Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples were begging Jesus,
"Teacher, you must have something to eat."
"I have food to eat that you know nothing about. My food is to obey the will of him who sent me and finish the work he gave me to do. You have a saying, 4 more months and then the harvest. I tell you, take a good look at the fields. The crops are now ripe and ready to be harvested. The reaper is being paid and gathers the crop for eternal life, so that the planter and the reaper will be glad together. The saying is true. One plants and another reaps. I have sent you to reap a harvest in a field where you did not work. Others work there, and you profit from their work."
Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I had ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his message, and they told the woman, "We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he really is the Savior of the world." But what about a Samaritan woman? How lovely are the messengers that preach us the gospel of peace. Maybe you are thirsty this morning. Maybe you are physically thirsty and haven't drank enough water today. Or maybe you're thirsty in another way. Mark Twain once wrote that life would be infinitely happier if we could only be born at age 80 and then gradually approach 18. To drink and to never be thirsty again. This is what Jesus offers us today. Today and through much of the rest of Lent, we will be hearing from John's Gospel. John's text is quite different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke's Gospel begins in this way. "Since many of you have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses, I too have decided to write an orderly account for you." John's Gospel begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John's Gospel begins as a poem or a song. It's different. We move from strict, orderly account to poetry, depth of meanings, so many so that two people might even disagree on what Jesus exactly means there. John tells us, though, exactly what we are supposed to do because of this gospel. In the second to last chapter of John, he says, "But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." This woman, this lovely messenger, had the opportunity and the responsibility to understand who Jesus was. And it is our job, after hearing the scriptures, to understand who Jesus is and then to find everlasting life in his name. Jesus came to one that day who was doubly an outcast. She was a Samaritan and a woman. It's hard to tell at that time which was worse. For in a patriarchal society, the women were hated, but according to Jews, these Samaritans were hated as well. You heard it in the reading, "We Jews believe this. You Samaritans say that." She was oppressed. Samaria was a nuisance place in history. The disciples probably didn't want to go there. And to their surprise, Jesus not only stopped, but stayed. Jesus came to this woman looking for hospitality. He was a stranger in a strange land. Jesus might have been thirsty, or else he saw the unnamed woman's thirst. She probably had that need written all over her face. She came to draw water from the well during the hottest part of the day. So she was probably all alone. She had 5 marriages. However, we don't know whether she was cast out due to divorce or whether her husbands had died. Regardless, she was a woman in need. Jesus begins the conversation asking for help. What if Jesus walked up to you today and asked you for something? Or have you been approached by a stranger who needed help? You took a chance and said yes, and then a sacred event occurs next. Jesus sharing his identity with this woman occurs in that event of hospitality. Jesus first is disguised. This woman was charged with giving hospitality regardless of who he was, but it was all a part of learning who he was at that same time. And doesn't she learn, because she's willing to share of herself, that she had the Lord himself with her? It took a while for this to happen. As Jesus and the Samaritan woman talk, parallel conversations seem to occur. Jesus speaks metaphorically. The woman understands it literally. "I gave you living water, but how can I have this water that's right here and never have to drink again?" Living water was steeped in biblical language. Jesus was offering her God's Spirit, wisdom and open eyes, holiness, both personal and social, a relationship with the living God, and ultimately salvation. He was offering her a way for her life to be transformed. St. Augustine, in his book, Confessions, wrote, "Thou movest us to delight in praising thee, for thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee." Jesus offered her a chance to find peace in the midst of all the storms of life, and all this woman could think about was physical water. Praise God that, like Jesus doesn't give up on us, Jesus didn't give up on this woman. He could have become frustrated and found his disciples as they approached and just left. After all, she was a Samaritan. Who needs them? Instead, Jesus sticks with it. He sticks with her. And in the midst of their conversation, Jesus reveals himself to this unloved, unlearned outsider. This unnamed woman is immediately transformed after hearing, "I am he." Jesus claimed, rightly so, that he was the Messiah. He was the one that could offer that everlasting life to all who believed. She took a chance and said yes. Instead of simply offering a glass of water to Jesus gave her life everlasting. Did you notice what that unnamed woman did next? She dropped her water bucket and went back into town. Then she began to preach. She went from being an outsider to a preacher who evangelized her community. And she wasn't just a street corner preacher yelling at everyone but connecting with no one. People listened to her and followed her out to where Jesus remained with his disciples. She knew such passion that it didn't matter where she came from, what she knew, who she'd been with, it only mattered about Jesus. And so Jesus stayed. Jesus remained with the enemy, and the enemy became the beloved. Jesus' living water is that transformative. Strangers become friends. Hated become loved. The holy dwells with us. Revelation says, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let everyone who hears say, 'Come.' Let anyone who wishes take the water as life, as a gift." We have received this water. Who in your life needs this living water? Who are the outcasts around you that need a word of hope and a healing touch of Christ's love? Christ lives in you. So go share Christ with them. The disciples probably wished that Jesus didn't love that woman, but he did anyway. God loves each of us, even when we are seemingly unlovable. We have this river of life flowing out of us that can nourish the world. May we share the good news of Jesus' thirst-quenching living water to all people, so that they too might turn and find everlasting life in his name. He said, "Freely, freely you have received. Now freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live." May it be so with us. Amen.
Let your light shine before us.
musical leadership with us, and each and every Sunday at Geneseo or here with us. And thank you to our directors, and thank you to Mark as well for so beautifully playing for us and sharing with us each and every Sunday. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
This program was for March 27th, 2011, and the very first broadcast from Avon United Methodist Church. The minister was Kim Farrell.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.